going. You know, the Bible defines faith as believing in things not seen. And that causes some of us trouble at times. Because we're born into this world trusting and innocent. But we're born into a sinful world full of deceit and lies and scams and cons. And we develop skepticism. We're skeptic of everything. We want to have proof for everything before we believe it. Well, that's true for a lot of things on earth, but it's not true for God. It's not true for the Bible, because every word of it is true.
That's right.
I guess I got inspired by this, for this song. I was talking to a fellow one time. He wasn't a true believer, and I was trying to kind of reach out to him a little bit. And we was talking about God. And he said, "Well, all right, how do you know God exists?" I said, "Well, I can't show you the face of God. I can't introduce you to him and handshake his hand. But I can see the results of God all over the place." And I said, "And too, you got to have faith." He said, "Well, I'll tell you what." He said, "If God would just come to earth, come on TV or something and show himself, then I'd have faith." I said, "No, you'd have proof. If you got proof, you don't need faith." So, Bible says we're saved by faith, not proof. Right? Right. Okay. This song is called something that's called faith. I didn't see the manger or the swaddling clothes. I wasn't in the stable to hear the cattle low. I didn't see the shepherds or the guiding star. I didn't see the wise men journeyed from afar. But I don't need to prove it, and I don't need to see, for the Bible tells me that it's so, and that's good enough for me. And even though I've never his voice, and I've never seen his face, I know that Jesus was born in Bethlehem with something that's called faith. I wasn't there at the cross when he was crucified. Didn't see them thrust that spear deep into his side. I didn't see his hands and feet where the nails went through, or hear him say, "Forgive them, they know not what they do." But I don't need to prove it, and I don't need to see, for the Bible tells me that it's so, and that's good enough for me. And even though I've never heard his voice, and I've never seen his face, I know that Jesus died on Calvary with something that's called faith. And I know that he arose from the grave when the stone was rolled away. And I know with all my heart and soul that Jesus lives today. And I know someday look upon his face. For I know heaven is where I'm going to. With something that's called heaven. I know heaven is where I'm going to. With something that's called faith. All we need is faith.
Well, do I have any young people like to talk to me today? Well, good morning. Good morning. Don't you worry. Hey, Kenny. That suit came in my hand. Well, come on in. There's always some room. Now, we do this every Sunday, so we talk about Jesus. And you know, whenever Jesus came into Jerusalem, that last time, that he came, it was on this day, long ago. Jesus, the children praised Jesus, and they were singing songs to Jesus, kind of like Colin did today. They were saying, Jesus loves me, praise God, and they were looking up to Jesus. And that's why we do what we do. We want y'all to get to know Jesus while you're young. See, how old are you right now? You're 4. You're how many? 7?
4? I'm 4 like
3rd. Oh. You know how many I am?
What?
I don't have enough fingers. I don't have enough fingers. 100? Yeah, there you go. I'm 100. Don't I look 100?
Yes.
All right. Well, we're going to go to children's church. And we're gonna... I'm actually 60 years old.
60?
Yeah. Do I look older than that?
Yes.
Or younger than that? I look younger than that? This is my favorite child. She said I look younger than that. Well, let's say a prayer and we're going to go to the children's church. And we're going to go to the children's church and have a good time. I am. You are my favorite. All of you are my favorites. Father, I thank you for these beautiful children. And I pray, Lord, that you continue to lift them up and bless them and let them have a good time in children's church. Give them a wonderful day, Lord. Help them to learn about Jesus. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. That's a watch. Oh, it's an old one. Oh, that belongs to Tristan. You dropped that, Tristan. Y'all be careful. Don't fall. Grab a coloring book. I'm going to ask the congregation if you'll stand up. And I want you to cross the aisle and welcome somebody to church.
I got a
I appreciate what you've done. Good song.
Look at that song playing good here.
Turn to the first book in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 21. The first book in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 21. If you don't have a New Testament, there's a little black Bible in the pew in front of you. You can turn to that. We'll be in Matthew chapter 21. I'm going to start reading verses 10 through 11. We're going to focus on these verses and then talk about, we're going to talk about Jesus. I hope y'all came to hear about Jesus today. Normally I have everybody stand in honor of the reading of God's Word, but we're running short on time. I'm going to have you sit today, but I want you to honor God's Word. Amen. This is God's Word, and I want to read these words to you, Matthew 21, verses 10 through 11. It says, when he, Jesus, was come to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth, of Galilee. Oh, you know, on the day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem, we call it Palm Sunday, and it was about a week before Jesus was crucified on the cross of Calvary, before Jesus rose from the grave. But as Jesus rides into Jerusalem, he's riding in on a high holiday. All of the Jews know that they're supposed to come back to Jerusalem for the Passover meal. They're mandated to do this every year. This is what the law of Moses gave them and God gave them. And he said, every year I want you to go to Jerusalem. You're to take a lamb without spot, without blemish, or a turtle dove if you're poor and it's supposed to have no blemish. But you're to go to Jerusalem. You're supposed to celebrate the fact that God will cover your sins in the blood of this innocent that will be sacrificed. Well, it's a high holiday in Jerusalem. Kind of like our Mule Day. And there's all kinds of things going on. People are everywhere. It's a wonderful crowd that day. But then suddenly, there's another group that comes in to Jerusalem. It's called a multitude in the Bible. And there's a bunch of people, and they just look really odd. They're throwing their overcoats down on the ground in front of this man who is riding on a white donkey. Behind him, he's leading a young foal, a child donkey, a younger donkey. They call it a foal. And he's leading this. He's sitting on the back of this donkey, and the people are throwing their overcoats in front of him. People are going up into the people's property. They're ripping palm tree leaves down. They're throwing palm branches down on the ground in front of him. And the children are shouting. They're saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. And as they're saying this, they're actually quoting from Psalm 118. Psalm 118 says, save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. That's what Hosanna is. Hosanna means, Lord, save us. And then they were saying, blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And they're praising him coming in. And as they're doing this, Jerusalem is disturbed. And they go to the multitude and they ask the multitude, they say, who is this man? Who is this person that y'all are doing this with? And Jerusalem is told by the multitude, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And can I tell you this? The multitude got it wrong. The multitude got it wrong. You know, the multitude usually gets it wrong. They got it about half right, about halfway. We live in an age where if you're half right, they say you're right. Can I tell you this? If you're half right, you're still wrong.
Amen.
You know, there's either a right or there's a wrong.
Right.
And what they said was not true. They said, this Jesus, he's the prophet of Nazareth. No, he's not. Whenever Jesus started his earthly ministry, in Mark chapter 6, it tells us that Jesus went first of all to Nazareth. And when he went to Nazareth, he went to the synagogue. And he grew up in Nazareth. And he went to the synagogue, to the church that he had often been in as a child. And he walked into this place. And as he walked into this place, he read a scripture from Isaiah. A scripture that spoke of him as the Messiah. And Jesus told him, he said, this day, this is fulfilled in your ears. And the Bible says in Mark chapter 6, people began to say, is this not the carpenter? And is his daddy not a carpenter? And doesn't he have, isn't he the son of Mary? And his brothers are James and Joseph and Judah and Simon. And we see his sisters here. Well, his sisters are in church today. And said, who does he think he is? You see, Nazareth didn't believe in Jesus. They grew up around Jesus, but they did not know Jesus. One time Jesus was preaching in Mark chapter 3. And the Bible says that when his friends heard, the ones that went to school with him, that grew up with him, Mark chapter 3 verse 21, it says his friends heard of what he was doing in ministry. And his friends went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself. Jesus has lost his mind. He is outside of himself. You say, how is it possible to grow up around Jesus and not know that he is the Messiah? Well, I'm going to tell you, the Bible tells you the answer to that. You see, unless God has spoken to you of Christ, unless he has opened your heart to see, then you will not know Jesus as he is. Jesus said that many times. Jesus said many times. He said, listen, he said in John chapter 6, he said, you have seen me and believe me not. He told the Pharisees this. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Now that's the good news. Jesus said, everybody that comes to me, I will take them to myself. And then Jesus said this. He said, this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that all of which he hath given me, I should lose none. That's good news too. If you come to Jesus, Jesus says, I will save you and I will keep you. And I praise God for that, don't you?
Amen.
That I'm in the hand of Jesus. And he said, I'll not lose any. And Jesus said, this is the will of him that sent me. Everyone which seeth the Son and believes on him will have everlasting life. Jesus came down from heaven so that everyone who would believe in him would have everlasting life.
Amen.
But as Jesus said that, the Jews spoke to him. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it that he says, I came down from heaven? And Jesus said, listen, he said, no man can come to me except the Father, which hath sent me, draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. You know, I can tell you all about Jesus, but you've got to have an encounter with God if you want to know who Jesus is.
Amen.
And what's true of every Christian is this, not that they have come and heard about Jesus, but, you know, you ask the question, how do I know? What is my proof that I am saved, that I know that God is there, that Jesus is there? It's because there was a day when God came to me and he spoke to my heart. And I heard the preacher preach, but the preacher didn't save me. God came to me, and God spoke to my heart, and he convinced me that Jesus is, and that he lives. And when I believed on him, God took hold of my life, and he changed it. Now, he didn't make everything beautiful like a little flower garden. There's lots of things. I have trials, and you have trials. Is that true?
Amen.
Some of y'all look like you're having trials now. Your faces look awful. But let me tell you something. Jesus touched me and he changed me and he fixed me and he's fixing me every day. I became the workmanship of God because of what Jesus did.
Amen.
And I met Jesus.
Amen.
You see, I tell you, the multitude was about halfway right. They said Jesus is the prophet of Nazareth. That's only halfway right. Jesus is a prophet. If you were here last Sunday, you heard me preach on Deuteronomy chapter 18. And if you weren't here last Sunday, I don't have time to preach that sermon again. Can I tell you this? When you miss church, and you miss the word of God, you miss out.
Amen.
Because God gives me a word to bring you every week, and it's a progressive word. And everything builds upon something else, and when you say, I don't want to come, you miss out.
Right.
But you have to take my word for it. So I'm going to give you the abbreviated version of last week, because I know y'all don't want to sit here until 1 o'clock. Amen?
Amen.
Y'all can be honest with me. Amen?
Amen.
Like, some of y'all rolled your eyes when I said that. No one won't sit here until dinner. But I don't know if I can say that. But you say whatever you want to say. Amen.
Amen.
That's all right. But last week, Moses, I told you this last week, Moses said, I've got to leave. God has told me, my time is up. I can't go into the promised land. And Moses said, that people begin to ask Moses, who's going to go? Who's going to be the prophet who's going to replace you? Moses told them in Deuteronomy 18, and you might want to write this down, Deuteronomy 18, verse 15. He said, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him you shall hearken. And right after he said that, God himself spoke up. And the people heard God, and God said, I will raise Israel up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto Moses, and I will put my words in his mouth. And God said, he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass, whosoever will not hearken unto my words, but he shall speak in my name, I will hold them accountable. Beloved, Jesus is that prophet that God sent.
Amen.
To replace Moses. John starts out in John chapter 1. The law came by Moses. And thank God for the law of God. Amen.
Amen.
Moses wrote the beginning of the book. And the Bible says the law came by Moses. But then it says over there, John 1:17, but faith and truth came through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus is the one by which God addresses all today. Jesus knows who Jesus is. The multitudes. Why were the multitudes there? And Jerry brought that up this morning. He started recounting all that this morning. I told him, I spoke up. I said, get out of my sermon. Because he started talking about it. He was exactly right. You know, the reason people were there to see, having this big multitude in front of Jesus that day, is they had been at the resurrection of Lazarus. And word got around. And everybody saw this man Jesus, not as the Messiah, not as God sent him, not as the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world, not as the King of kings and Lord of lords. They saw him as a fantastic healer. Someone who could do anything and heal people. And they were fascinated with this. So when Jesus came from Bethany to Jerusalem for the Passover, this crowd followed him. And they went in front of him. And as Jesus went into the city, people began to throw their coats down and palms down in front of him. But then Jesus went to the temple. And if you're in Matthew chapter 21, I hope you are. But in Matthew chapter 21, it tells us that as Jesus went into the temple, look at verse 12. He went into the temple of God, and he cast out all of them that sold and bought in the temple. He overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and he said, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. You see, what had happened on this day is, it was like a mule day. Y'all remember Mule Day? People set up little booths all over town. Well, what if you'd come to church today and there were booths all over the front of this lawn here? You couldn't get here for all the people selling stuff out there. That's what Jesus found. He went to the temple. He went to the courtyard. And people had set up booths and they had set up places. And they're selling things and they're making merchandise of God. And Jesus ran them out. He threw them out. And he said, look. He said, you've made my house a house of thieves. You said, well, Brother David, what were they stealing? Listen, you're here today to worship God.
Amen.
You're here today to magnify Jesus.
Amen.
If you came in here today looking for a Whopper with cheese, you're in the wrong place.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You're here to worship God, to magnify Him, to thank Him for the life He gave you.
Sure.
You live because God gave you another day of life. And God can take that life. If you're born again, it's because God has called you to new birth and you've been saved. And you need to thank God for that every day.
Amen.
You see, they robbed God. And Jesus ran all that stuff out. I tell you this. Jesus, I believe, is purging his churches today.
Amen.
I do believe that. I tell you, over the last 6.5, going on 7 years I've been here, I've had a lot of people come into this church, and they're not here anymore. And the reason they're not here is they didn't want to hear the hard truth of God's Word.
Amen.
Y'all want to hear the hard truth?
Amen.
You are sinners, and I'm a sinner too.
Right.
Amen.
And there's none of us that deserve heaven.
Amen.
We all deserve to go to hell.
Amen.
But God sent His Son from heaven. He was born in a manger. And He rose up and grew up in Nazareth. And Jesus Christ came to this earth so He could make payment for your sins and for mine.
Amen.
You see, we were broke before God. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And you can't do anything about it, but God did something about it.
Amen.
He sent Jesus to die for you. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem that last time, He knew what He was riding in for. He was coming in as the Lamb of God without spot and without blemish. And in just a few days, the same multitude that excitedly threw their coats down in front of Him, the palm branches in front of Him, they're going to turn and now they're going to say, "Crucify Him! Let Barabbas go, but crucify Him!" You know why they do that? It's because the Pharisees convinced them to tell them to do that. There's a message in that. I can't save you. Only God can save you.
Amen.
And I don't want to talk you into being a Christian. I just want to tell you the way you can be a Christian. And that's by giving your life to Jesus.
Amen.
That's what it's all about. That's what everything, that's what the whole point of it. Jesus, as soon as He cast all these people out, look there in Matthew chapter 21 again. It says, right after He did that, look at verse 14, what happened? As soon as Jesus cast the money changers out and everybody that would make merchandise of the people, it says, the blind and the lame came to Him in the temple and He healed them. You see, when God got the self-righteous and the silly and all the foolishness out, then those who were broken could come to Jesus. Because I want to tell you all this, Jesus came for broken people.
Amen.
And I'm a broken person. Are you broken?
Amen.
I'm broken. I'm not able. I can't walk unless my Jesus holds my hand every
amen,
day.
Amen, brother.
Can y'all amen that with me?
Amen.
I've got to have my Jesus.
Yes, sir.
But beloved, let me tell you something. The devil don't like that. And right after Jesus started healing His people, look what it says in the text. It says in verse 15, when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that He did, and the children crying in the temple saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Look what it says. They were sore displeased. Have y'all ever met anybody like that?
Yes, sir.
Them self-righteous people, don't know who I'm talking about. They got on the fine suits, and they judge everybody that's sitting near them, and they look down their nose. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And they feel like they are the judges of everybody else. The sad thing about these self-righteous people is they don't know Jesus.
That's right.
A self-righteous person has never known Jesus. God calls you away from that. You know, if you can't think anybody like that, we might be thinking of you right now. Amen. Think about it. Amen. Self-righteous people. Oh, I'm so much better than that person. No. Jesus, whenever they said this, Jesus told them. Look there in verse 42. Jesus said unto them, "Have you never read the Scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner." What Jesus said is, "I am the chief cornerstone of my church." Jesus said, "I'm the rock on which my church is built." And then He said, "This is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in my eyes, in God's eyes." And then He said, look, verse 43 and 44, Jesus told them this. He said, "The kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever shall fall, it will grind him to powder." Jesus said, "Your self-righteousness, I'm going to take away Jesus came into his own, but his own refused him. But with that, Jesus raised up his church. And beloved, we're saved because God loves you. Did I tell you all that?
Amen.
I probably forgot to tell you that because some of you look like you've been sucking persimmons. God loves you. Amen.
Amen.
I want you to look at your neighbor right now and tell him, God loves you. God loves you. And he wants you to be saved. But you can't be saved in your own power. You can't. You need Jesus.
Amen.
I need Jesus. We all need Jesus. You've got to be born again. You know that question that Jerusalem asked that day, who do you think this man is? That's the most important question you can ever answer. And I want to ask you that question today. Who do you think Jesus is? Who do you think he is? You know, there's some people that think that Jesus is just a ticket to heaven. And they had to say, I walked the aisle one time and I got on the membership roll of the church and I got my ticket paid for and they took the ticket home and they put it in the kitchen drawer full of junk. Has anybody got a kitchen floor drawer full of junk? Everybody does, don't they? Have y'all ever opened it up and say, wow, look what's in there? And you're scared to throw it away because you think you really need it? You really don't need it. You could probably throw it away. But you slid that little ticket in there and you said, I've been saved. I've done everything I need to do to be saved. And I'll just forget about this until I'm on my deathbed. Beloved, you're not saved. No, you're not. You're not saved. There's some other people that think that faith in Jesus plus your good works will save you. And there's some of them out there thinking, the person sitting next to me is a whole lot worse than me. Wives might be thinking that of their husbands and husbands of their wives. And they say, well, I think it Jesus plus what I've done will save me. Now, let me tell you this. I believe if you're saved, you should walk like a child of God.
Amen.
I think you ought to walk differently. But let me tell you what the Bible says. It tells us in Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration, by renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Now we are heirs of God because of that. See, salvation is entirely a work of God. And if you think that Jesus did part of it, and I did part of it, you're half wrong. And if you're half wrong, you're all the way wrong. Amen.
Amen.
And you're not saved. And some people think Jesus is just a healer. They want to see Jesus when they're in the hospital. But when they leave the hospital, they don't want anything to do with Jesus. I have people call me all the time. They say, preacher, I'm sick. Will you come and pray for me? I want you to know I love to pray for you. And I don't want you to go home saying this preacher don't want to pray for me. But listen. Listen to me. Jesus is more than just a healer. Jesus is a Savior. And he's Lord of his people. He's Lord of all. And King of kings. And if you just call on Jesus whenever you're sick, beloved, you're not saved.
Right, brother.
You're just not. You know what saves you? If you think Jesus is both Lord and Savior of all.
Amen.
Jesus said, I'm the head of a kingdom. And he said, pick up your cross and follow me.
Amen.
Jesus said this. He said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And then Jesus said this. He said, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Oh, beloved, salvation belongs to the Lord. And if you've received Jesus as Lord and Savior, then you are saved.
Amen.
And you have eternal life right now. But if you're not, today is a wonderful time to call on Jesus. What better day than to call on him? So every head bowed and every eye closed. With every head bowed and every eye closed, who do you think this man is? Who do you think this man is? Dear Jesus, as we come to you now, We acknowledge you as Lord and Savior. We know, dear Jesus, there is nothing that you cannot do. And Lord, you've told us where two or more of us are gathered together in your name, you're in our midst. Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, that you will touch the heart of every Christian here. And Lord, if they have sin in their hearts today, I pray, dear Jesus, that they will lay that sin down at your feet. Lord, we've all sinned and fallen short, and we still sin, though we don't want to as your children. We want to honor you, and we want your smile in our lives. So, Lord God, we lay our sin down today. We ask you, Jesus, to cover it with your nail-scarred hand. Cover it with blood. And we will leave this place today, Lord, shining for you, Jesus. Following you as members of your nation, your church, your kingdom. Being the light that you've called us to be and the salt that you've called us to be. Let us be, Lord God, the people that you've called us to be, imitators of your dear Son. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today that does not know you as Lord and Savior, if they've heard the question, who is this man, Jesus? And they can't honestly answer that you're their Savior as well as Lord. I pray, Lord, that where they're at today, that they would just say a simple prayer. Jesus, I realize I'm a sinner. Jesus, I realize that I don't deserve heaven. But Lord, I come into your kingdom by faith. Jesus, I ask you to take over my life, to speak to me, and walk with me daily as I walk with you. Jesus, I turn to you. Lord, we'll give you the glory for it all. Lord, I pray that today I have been a trumpet to your lips. For Lord, there's nothing that I can do, but there's nothing that you can't do. Let us all be where we need to be in you, Lord. In Jesus' precious and holy name, we pray. Amen.
Go with me to number 312.
Cherish you being here today. I pray that God has touched your heart, that you'll leave out of here, shine for Jesus wherever you go. I was mentioning in last week's Bible study that Jesus called us to love God with all of our hearts, all of our soul, all of our minds, all of our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves, to love them the way Jesus loved us. One of the members of the Bible study asked me, who is my neighbor? Put your hands out like this. That's your neighbor. Whoever you're sitting next to is your neighbor. Whoever you're working for is your neighbor. Whoever your employee is your neighbor. Whoever you're in the marketplace with, that's your neighbor. America will not get better until we love our neighbor as ourselves. So let's let Jesus love through us. Amen.
Amen.
God is good.
All the time.
All the time. I'm going to ask my brother Buster, if you will, close us with prayer.